So with Floyd's desire to gain godly patience and our prayers for him, I know that will be very, very effective. And we ask him to pray for us as well. If you were here this morning, you remember that I used Psalm 118, verse 24 as my text. If you remember, I compared King James Version to the English Standard, to the American Standard, and also to the NIV. I don't think anyone here reads the American Standard, but there seemed to be some questions about the NIV. In fact, Belinda was telling me that her NIV read exactly the way the King James did that I read first. Well, that kind of bothered me. I didn't want to say something that was untrue. And I got home and did some research on it. Evidently, the NIV, when it reprinted along the line somewhere, changed some of their verses. I got on Bible Gateway, and they carry the newer translation. That's the one that I referenced today, where David was talking about today. So I don't use the NIV enough really to know that much about it, but I wanted to clarify that. So if you were reading the older NIV, yours was different than what I read, but I was reading from the newer one. Anyway, I wanted to say that. In Luke chapter 18, we find Jesus giving a parable about two individuals that were as opposite as day is from night. He talks about these individuals. They are his illustration. But Jesus also tells us to whom he is addressing this teaching. Now, these two individuals, one of them was a Pharisee. And though I think we're all fairly familiar with the Pharisees, we're going to see the part that he plays in this parable. And the other, the King James calls him a tax collector, but probably other translations refer to him as a publican. The Pharisees and the publicans were as opposite as day is from night. We're going to begin reading with verse 9 in just a moment, and let me paraphrase a bit from verse 9. Jesus tells us of whom he is talking and to whom he is talking. He's talking to people that were confident in their own righteousness. And really beyond that, they were arrogant because of their feelings of righteousness. So arrogant, in fact, that they would look down their noses at other people, religiously speaking. All right, let's begin with verse 9. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. They were not trusting in God. They were trusting in themselves that they were righteous, but they despised others. This is the parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector or a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. This is what I do, he says. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but smote or beat upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now Jesus wraps it up. This is the teaching. Jesus said, I tell you, the publican went down to his house justified in the sight of God, rather than the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted or built up. The root word from which we get the name Pharisee, and if you want an interesting study, just get on the internet and look up Pharisee. It's a very interesting study. But the name that we get Pharisee from actually means to separate or to detach. It seems that the Pharisees had grown weary with the way the Sadducees were handling Judaism, and so they were out to separate themselves from the Sadducees or detach from the Sadducees. It sounds like two denominations that separate because of some disagreement, or two political parties who separate because their platform is different. So the Pharisees were dissatisfied with the way the Sadducees were controlling Judaism, and they separated or detached from them. Now, in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees were just now coming into their great power. And as my research showed, they were really working class Jews. The Sadducees always supplied Judaism with the high priest. He was always a Sadducee. The hierarchy, the elite of Judaism, was always Sadducees, and the Pharisees were just not satisfied. The Sadducees really took all of that pomp and prestige for granted, and the Pharisees were getting dissatisfied with that. They were growing stronger and stronger and stronger. And if you remember, Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. And according to what I studied, following the destruction of Jerusalem, AD 70, the Pharisees were the most powerful sect, S-E-T, of all of Judaism. And even today, ascetic traditional Judaism is based on the teaching of the Pharisees. It traces back nearly 2,000 years to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were intent on letting everyone know that their interpretation was the best. And if you did not accept their interpretation, you were considered, and they didn't mind calling you, a sinner. So Orthodox Judaism, even today, with the hair down the side of their faces and the black hats and the black garments, all is traced back to the Pharisees. So in many respects, it was like two groups that were together that just couldn't get along. Denominations, political parties, so they separated. And one would look at the other and say, "You're ultra liberal." And they'd look back at them and say, "Well, you're ultra conservative." That's really the way it was. Now, the publicans, on the other hand, were nothing like the Pharisees. The publicans are probably best known because they worked for the Romans. And brethren, the Jews under Judaism didn't want to have anything to do with the Romans. They didn't want them even in their land. They started out as farmers, farming the land that was occupied by the Romans, but pretty soon they hired that out to Gentiles, and they became almost exclusively tax collectors or officials for the Roman government. And they were also considered traitors by the Jews because they worked for the Romans. And more often than not, it seems historically that the way they got their salary was they would charge more taxes than the Romans required, and they would keep the amount that was left over. And the more they charged, the more was left over. So a lot of the publicans were very, very, very wealthy. So these two men from the opposite ends of the spectrum, a Pharisee and a tax collector, come to the temple to pray. A Pharisee and a publican, a legalist and a traitor. Now Jesus also identifies the people to whom he is teaching. Jesus' parables were always designed to teach lessons. And we learn a great deal about Christianity from the parables that Jesus told. A parable is a story that probably never happened, but Jesus lays that easy to understand story side by side with perhaps more difficult to understand biblical teaching. It helps us understand. Jesus indicates that this parable is for those who trusted in their own righteousness, who thought that they were doing enough to be saved in God's sight. They trusted in themselves instead of trusting in God. In other words, he's saying this parable is for people who are religiously arrogant, or maybe better stated, religiously satisfied. And brethren, I don't have a problem with, in fact, I wish all of us were religiously satisfied with our lives. But the Pharisees and the audience were taking that too far. The only way they were satisfied with themselves is if they tore down somebody else. It's not really that they didn't think they were doing enough, but that made them seem even higher if they tore everybody else. And because of that, they thought they were religiously superior. And of course, we know that is not the case. Let's use modern vernacular to understand a little bit better. Let's say one of our men can lead singing better than another one of our men. That does not make him religiously superior. It just means God has given him a little bit more talent. Or a man can say a much more beautiful prayer than another man. That doesn't make him religiously superior. He just might have a better vocabulary. Or maybe one man is taught for 5 years and this other man is taught for only 3 years. That doesn't make him religiously superior or the other religiously inferior. It just means one has taught longer than others. Among ladies, it would be the same way. Some ladies are just natural leaders among the ladies' group. Some have taught for a long time, and I'm certainly not trying to single out anyone. But that doesn't make anyone, or it should not make anyone, feel superior, maybe more blessed by God, because God has given some more blessings, more talents, and more abilities, but certainly not more religiously superior, and certainly not more religious. Now, those were the ones that would demand the best seats or the chief seats, as Jesus talked about in Matthew 23. Those are the ones that wanted to be singled out, as Jesus mentions in Mark 12 and Luke chapter 20. So Jesus is talking about someone who considers themselves religiously superior and wants everyone to know that. You know, we've talked about Pharisees in times past. They wore these extremely tall hats so that you could see them coming a mile away. And you'd say, here comes a religious man. I can see that real tall hat. Or they would wrap these ribbons, they were called phylacteries, around their arms and their shoulders, depending on how many verses they had memorized from the Torah. And you would see a man with all of these ribbons wrapped around him, and you'd say, oh, that's a religious man, because he's got all those ribbons wrapped all around him. That's to whom the parable was addressed. Those who look down their noses at other people, religiously speaking. Now, I said all of that to ask this question. Brethren, what impresses God? What impresses God? We learn that in this parable, so let's see. What impresses God? Verse 10. These two men come to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I'm better than everyone else, and especially better than that traitor, publican, tax collector. In other words, God, thank you for allowing me to become religiously superior. Now, the traditional historical view as to why the Pharisees ultimately replaced the Sadducees among the Jewish people, one, there were more of them, but second, they were better Bible students. The Sadducees took all of this power for granted. The Pharisees did get into the book. They got into the Torah. They learned the message of the Torah, but apparently not to apply that message to their life, rather to trap the Sadducees in a religious debate. They tried to do that with Jesus. Some of the lawyers of the Pharisees would come asking Jesus those questions. So the Pharisees dotted every religious I and they crossed every theological T. They went strictly by the book. Their heart was in religion. The problem was their religion had no heart. They knew what the book said. They knew what the Torah taught. But it just didn't sink past their ears. And we know what the Bible says about someone whose religion is not of the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the Pharisee begins his prayer. First of all, he goes to the inner court so he could be best seen. In another story, Jesus even says that he got everyone's attention. It doesn't indicate that here, but he goes to where he is best seen. And he begins his prayer by telling God how wonderful he is. He's praying to God, telling God how wonderful he is. The first thing he does, he fasts twice a week. Now, I tried to do some research and I asked and I got the answer I was looking for. The Jews were required in the day of Jesus to hold three fast days. The Day of Atonement was their number one fast day, but there were two other fast days that they were required to keep. Now, in the first century, they had incorporated as many as 18 or 20 other fast days, so maybe 20 or 25 fast days were required of the Jews. This man said, "I fast twice a week." If I can still add correctly, that's over 100 times a year. Did that make him superior, religious, to people who did not fast a week? Well, he seems to think so. And concerning tithing, he not only tithed of his income, he tithed of everything else. Now, brethren, let's be honest. There's nothing wrong with people fasting 100 times a week. Well, that'd be a little bit much. 100 times a year, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with people giving more than 10%. But that does not make one person superior and one person inferior. The problem that the Pharisee had is a problem that a lot of people have today. They think, we think, he thought that all these little token things that we do are making us brownie points with God. And admittedly, we have to be faithful to the talents we have. We have to be cheerful givers and all of these things. But brethren, when it comes right down to it, we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because we fast or because we tithe. We do that because we love Jesus Christ. But we're saved because of his death on the cross. So there are a lot of people, to me, and this is going to sound so judgmental, and I've tried to rewrite it so it doesn't. I couldn't do it. There are so many people today that say, yep, I'm going to heaven because my picture has been in the church directory every time we've had a church directory. And Nancy took my picture and posted it out there. And I come at least 30 or 40% of the time. Yes, I'm going to be saved because my mother and my grandmother were members of that congregation. That sounds like what the Pharisee would say, look at all that I have done. Look at all that I can do. It's not, God, you've blessed me with this, but let me tell you about myself. And it doesn't seem that it was impressing God at all. It seems to me like he was trying to talk himself into heaven. It's almost like he was trying to let God know how lucky God was going to be, because he was going to have that Pharisee in heaven for all eternity. Once upon a time, there was a three-week camp for junior high girls. Let me look around, make sure we don't have any junior high girls. No, we don't. Three-week camp for junior high girls. What they did was they stayed there for all 3 weeks, and the very last day they would come together early in the morning. The whole day was for giving of awards. So they would come together and the award would be announced. They would visit among themselves and then they would leave, think about it, come back and vote for that award. So they did this, several awards, half a dozen or a dozen awards were given that very day. Well, when the mother came to pick up her daughter, she noticed that the daughter wasn't quite as excited and happy maybe as some of the other girls that were there. And so on the way home, she said, "Honey, what's the matter?" She said, "Well, camp was wonderful, but then we got to Saturday to the awards day." And she said the first one was best camper. And her mother said, "Well, I'm sorry you didn't get that." She said, "Oh, no, I got that. I got best camper." The second one was most likely to succeed. And her mother said, "Well, you won the first one." No, I won that one too. And I won prettiest camper too. But the last award was most stuck up. she said, I won that one too. Rather than if a contest like that was made for the Pharisees, they would win it hands down. Much like the rich fool there in Luke chapter 12, you know. He had itis, I did this, I did that, I don't do this, I don't do that. I'm so glad I'm better than everyone else. I'm not like other men. He was drunk on his own self-worth. He had a problem with inflation. His ego was inflated much more than his life. He was too big for his spiritual britches. I wanted to say that as well. He fooled himself about himself. Thank you, God, that I'm not like anyone else. I'm superior to them. But he was just like all of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, the contrast that Jesus gives could not be missed by his audience. Next, we see the publican. Again, as I said in my introduction, the Pharisee and the publican were as different as day is from night. They were considered the scum of the earth. They were considered to be traitors. They were Jews working for the Romans, making their income off of Jewish taxes. They would sometimes charge exorbitant taxes so that they could keep it from themselves. They would really steal candy from a baby. That's how bad they were. In fact, the publicans were considered traitors so much that they couldn't hold public office. Not that anyone would vote for them anyway. Nor could they be called as a witness in a Jewish court because their word was considered worthless. So comparing a publican to a Pharisee is like comparing a criminal to the sheriff. They're just completely different. But then Jesus, the master teacher, uses his divine ability to twist this story for a good lesson. The Pharisee tried to impress God. He didn't. The publican didn't try to impress God, but he did with his humility. Brethren, that's really what impresses God. It's Christian humility. The tax collector was as humble as the Pharisee was arrogant. We could see the way he stood. The Pharisee stood in the center of the court. Publican went out to the court of the Gentiles. He stood afar off. We could see it in his eyes in the other parable given. The Pharisee assumes that posture of prayer where he looks up into heaven. The publican was so humble he wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. We could see it in his hand. He smote his breast, almost indicating, my heart is not right. I have a sinful heart. And we could hear it in his voice. God be merciful unto me, a sinner. And God heard his prayer. And Jesus said, I want to tell you something. He went home justified. Not the Pharisee. This publican that you look down your noses at. He went home justified. I remember reading a tract one time. It was entitled, The Highway to Heaven is Paved with Humility. And that's the way it is. If we saw a Pharisee on the outside, we would think that's the most religious individual to ever walk on the face of the earth. And we would have thought just the opposite if we saw a publican saying, well, he even works for the enemies of God. But the Bible says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to those who have an humble heart and save such that have a contrite spirit. So we need to listen to Jesus. This man went home justified rather than the other. And Jesus says, if we try, and he's using the Pharisee, if we try to exalt ourselves, if we try to make ourselves something, we're going to be abased or we're going to be brought down. And if we don't try, if we are humble in our actions and in our Christian life, God will lift us up. So here are the 3 points that we learn from the lesson tonight. What we learn is it's not important how we see ourselves. No, let me rephrase that. It is important how we see ourselves, but it's more important how God sees us. And when we see ourselves as God sees us, then we will see ourselves as we really are. And mercy is not something that God pays out if we try, like the Pharisee, to tell him that we earned it. Mercy is something that God will give when we penitently ask him for it. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So we even learned this lesson tonight. We don't look down our noses at other people, but let's make sure we see ourselves in light of the Bible. You remember, last point, James says that our life, it's like looking into a mirror. Looking into the New Testament is looking like looking into a mirror. We will only see the image that God sees. That's what is important to us. I don't think there's anyone here tonight who has not rendered obedience to the gospel, but if there is, we hope tonight is the night you want to be baptized, or if for any other reason anyone wants to respond, won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?